From Tally to Cali,
it's time to wake up.
Wake up. WarChant.com is your ultimate Seminole sports source.
And this is Wake Up WarChant,
presented by Corner Pocket Bar and Grill.
One more Corner Pocket.
Now here's WarChant.com's Asan Hajivandi
and Corey Clark.
What is up, everybody? It is Wake Up WarChant, presented by the Corner Pocket Bar and Grill, Tallahassee, Florida. Coming up on today's show, do we have anything to fear but fear itself? A recruiting wrap-up with Michael Langston as well. Wake Up WarChant is presented by the Corner Pocket Bar and Grill, Tallahassee, Florida. CPTallyBar.com is the website. You should check it out. You can find their daily lunch specials on Mondays. Burgers. Build your own burger, the daily lunch special. 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Comes with a side dish, straight fries, curly fries, tater tots. You know all of it. Fresh baked fries, potato chips. It's all there. Side salad. Corner Pocket Bar and Grill. And then tomorrow will be trivia night. And then Thursday's bingo. But there's always something going on at the Corner Pocket Bar and Grill. You can play some billiards, throw some darts, watch some football. Championship weekend coming up this weekend as well. So it's all at the Corner Pocket Bar and Grill. No better way to spend if you're in Tallahassee, right, Corey? If you were in Tallahassee, you'd be spending your weekends at the Corner Pocket Bar and Grill.
Probably so. I've spent a few weekends there. And shout out to my man Isaac. I think he's going to be a new listener to the show. We just told him about it. He's the, I don't know what we call him. He runs the kitchen.
Okay.
Like the head cook at the Corner Pocket. And man, he I'm telling you guys, I'm not lying to you. The food is legit. Mm-hmm. Isaac, you're the man, buddy.
Throwing it down. WarChant.com, the ultimate Seminole sports source. Subscribe for only $29.99. Get full premium access all the way up until September 1st, which will be like 48 hours before kickoff against LSU. Maybe the GOAT, the greatest opener of all time, possibly. Two
sure.
Top six, top seven teams. Who knows how it'll all shake out. Thumbs up. Five-star rating review as well. We would appreciate it. Corey, we had a little bit of a pre-show meeting, if you will. Kind of a sparse landscape out there here. I want to get your thoughts on some of the young guys that we spoke to on Thursday. I kind of mentioned them on the Friday pod that we put together for everybody, but we didn't get to hear your thoughts on it. We'll get to speak to more newcomers here later on this week. I think, is it Tuesday, Thursday this week? We'll get some more of these guys.
Correct. Yeah. Okay. Tuesday, Thursday.
Awesome. What I did want to talk about kind of was came up in my mind here as I was grabbing my water here to stay hydrated throughout the show. I went home to Tampa. Shout out Tampa Stand Up. Well, actually St. Pete. My buddy Matt got married. Congrats to him and his lovely wife here. Although, man, my poor guy got, like, dunked on the whole night. Like, all the speeches. It was very semi-formal, casual. Like, one of our buddies' wives was the officiant. Then the husband was the best man. And it was a lot of, like, poking fun at him for having, like, outkicked his coverage. Which, like, you know, one or two jokes. Ha, ha, ha. But, right. Man, it was, like, a steady stream of, like, how did he pull this off? But anyhow, talking to some of my friends there. You know, everyone's asking me, you know, what are you doing, Aslan? You still in Alabama? I'm like, no, I've actually been in Florida State. I've been in Tallahassee now for the last,
for
like, you know.
6 years,
yeah,
almost,
you guys,
yeah.
Keep up with me.
Not great friends, apparently.
Right, clearly. I was on standby, Corey. I didn't really want to go down that road, but I don't think I was on the original list of invitees, and I think I was on the second cut, but I'll look past it.
Hey, man, you made it.
I did. Anyhow, so my good buddy John, college roommate, big-time Florida State fan. He was season ticket holder when he first moved to Birmingham before he had four children. Shout out to him and his lovely wife, Kate. He's like, so are we really going to be good this coming season? He's like, I believe in the guy. I like the quarterback. He's like, but I'm just afraid, man. I just don't know. I'm afraid. It's just we're setting ourselves up for disappointment and giving ourselves too much, you know, unlofty expectations or too lofty of expectations. And you know, I wasn't going to make a big tiff out of it. We're at a wedding having fun, Corey, but I'm just, what's the fear here right now? I mean, Florida State's not, we're not a cursed program. I know there's been some lean years here of late. We're all well aware of that. We're also kind of well aware of 14 years stretch of whipping everybody pretty much, going to a national title game apparently every other year it felt like. A little bit of a, you know, renaissance there in the beginning of Jimbo Fisher's tenure. Like, I understand to a certain degree just we don't want to get our hearts broken, but if you look around the landscape of college football and you think about how this team looked to finish the season, how they prepared, what they said, they walked the walk, they talked the talk, all that, like, I wonder what that, you know, you talk to a lot of fans too, Corey. Everyone's always coming up to you and talking to you about the team. What do you think is the reason for maybe the hesitation? Is that just like a personal cynicism that resides in folks? Because I don't see it right now.
I think so. Well, I think, look, it's been, if you really want to get technical, it's been, what, 3 to 4 good years out of the last 20? And I mean like Florida State good years, not good years for other schools. But from 2000 to now, you'd say 2003?
Yeah, it was
2012,
seven.
2013, 2014, 2015, maybe 2016, I guess. You did win the Orange Bowl. And then 2022. So it's been, let's say, 6 years, 6 to 7 years out of the last. So it's Florida State fans are used to, quite frankly, not having a great fall, like not being all excited about their football team come the middle of October. And so they've been hurt a lot. They've been burned a lot. And so I think that's where it comes from, is recent history. And, yeah, some of it might be like me. You know, I always think the Braves are going to lose, get swept in the playoffs. I always think the Falcons and Hawks are going to lose close games. That's just kind of the – that goes to my personality more. But I think it's – you kind of like – you don't want to get burned by like, but really believing. But I think your first point was your best one is like, what does it hurt?
Well, not but, that, but what's the evidence, Corey? Other than you,
no, there isn't any. You know? other than recent history. This is a completely different coach. It's a complete. You know, it's a bunch of different players who won games, who just won 10 games. They're gonna be better. They should be. The roster is better than it was for a team that won 10 games. And the schedule, at least right now, as we talk in January, is easier than it was for the team that won 10 games. So, you know, yeah, I think it's more than anything just kind of a trepidation because of recent history. But this team, I think it's certainly, and this coach and this coaching staff, I think certainly deserves your belief, your buddy John's belief. Hmm. I hope you told him that. I'm like, I hope you told him, no, man, look around. They're almost as good as anybody. We'll see what they are in 2024 and 2025. But this edition coming up, you could say they're almost as good as anybody out there.
Yeah, there was no malice in the comments. It was just he wanted the green light from me to, like, dream the big dream. And I'm like, do it, man.
Yeah, man.
Because I understand, like, maybe the complacency, and we'll talk about this plenty. We've kind of already touched upon it several times ever since the bowl game about, like, this team has not arrived, and you've mentioned that. I don't see, like, this kind of Rocky III moment where they get way too big ahead of their skis, get too big ahead. Because, man, everything they said this season after they got that 3-game losing streak that led to the 6-game streak to finish out the season, that's largely going to carry over. I just can't – I don't know. Even in my most cynical imaginative mind, I can't imagine like what could possibly change outside of health and guys leaving the program somehow through that method that would change that. Because the leadership is in place. The yeah. pieces are in place. This coaching staff, again, there's so much continuity. Patrick Surtain, hopefully he'll be here any day now to kind of fill in the gap here for Marcus Woodson. There's just so much to really be encouraged about that I just can't imagine why anybody would want to be hesitant at this point. But I get it. He just wanted to make sure it was all right. And to everybody out there, Corey and I are saying it's all right.
I'm excited. And, you know, Surtain has been officially announced, so he is right. He is part of the staff. We just, you know, we don't know when he'll be in Tallahassee. But, yeah, man, you could even make the argument. I mean, we'll see, obviously, but they might be better coached. So they could be better coached. They have a better roster. All the players they do have that are coming back should be better because that's what's supposed to happen. Everything points to this being an exciting season and a season you can – and a team you can believe in. So hopefully it works out for all of us, gang.
Something else that was out there in the Twitter sphere, if you will, or maybe like the FSU Twitter ether, or what have you. I guess somebody I should have had this pulled up, Corey. Here's me just being poorly planned out and everything.
Well,
but
hey,
apparently somebody with the Irish consulate of Miami had been in Tallahassee. I guess you know just rubbing elbows with all of our statesmen here in the grand capital of the state of Florida. Yeah, the Irish consulate Miami. Miss Sarah Cavanaugh took a photo with Athletics Director Michael Alford about, you know, it was nice to meet you. We are very much hoping to see the Seminoles play a game in Ireland soon. Hashtag go Noles. And I think Michael Alford later this weekend even tweeted out like, hey, like, would you guys want to run one, play 60, line up the grid across the pond? We've seen this happen here in years past. Notre Dame's been out there. I think what was it, Nebraska and was it Illinois and Nebraska this past season? But I know Nebraska was out there here fairly.
Yeah, because they lost. Yeah, they lost a close game. Yeah, that was in Ireland. You're right.
Scott Frost does.
Yeah.
Would Corey Clark, would that be the cruise, or would you actually get on a plane to go watch the Noles if they play in Ireland? How cool would that be?
I mean, that would be probably cool enough that that would be a good excuse for me to get on a plane again, okay. I think. If they're playing in Ireland, so I can say it's a work trip, but it's Ireland, because I do want to go places, gang. I do really do, and maybe that could be something my son and I do. That would be a cool father-son trip to go to Ireland. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I'm saying that now with no game on the books. But yeah, I think that might be a way I could get on a plane, because I don't know what would a cruise take? 8 days? I don't know. 8 days? I'd have to. No. Who knows when I'd have to leave? But I would, and then you know I wouldn't even be back in time for the game the next week. If I was on a boat, but yeah, I think I could get on a plane for Ireland. Sure.
I wonder how that all comes about, though. I just, you know, 2 years ago, thinking about trying to pitch Florida State to play a game in Ireland and Dublin would be like, well, you know, they're. It's a national brand, but I wonder how much of this kind of goes back, Corey, you'd think, to just all the numbers that we saw throughout the year about the ratings that Florida State drew. And now it's one thing to watch it on TV. It's another thing to put your money where your mouth is and get on a plane and go. But I don't know. I'd be hard-pressed to think that Florida State wouldn't find a way to pack out any kind of stadium they want to put out there. I mean, shoot, you line up the Demon Deacons out there. I think Florida State would travel thick.
I do. My one personal opinion on this is if you're going to play in Ireland, make sure it's not one of your home games. You still, I mean, look, man, Tallahassee needs home games just for the community. You don't take one of your marquee home games for dope, because you don't get many of them, and put it in another country where Tallahassee makes no revenue off it. And I'm not just talking about the school. I'm talking about Corner Pocket. I'm talking about hotels.
Come on. Don't have your heart bleat for the hotels.
Well, sure, but it's still our local economy. I get what you're saying, and trust me, I've been down that road a bunch. That's ridiculous what they do, but that is a big part of their, right. You know, the money and the income that comes into this community. So let's make sure it's a road game. Like if they're playing a road game at Wisconsin, because they're in the Big Ten when this happens, so Florida State will be a member of the Big Ten. Uh-huh. It'll be a road game that was supposed to be in Madison. You send that bad boy to Ireland.
All right, Corey, so we'll get to speak to some more of these newcomers later this week, but didn't get to hear your thoughts on some of the guys that we were able to speak with on Thursday. You know, we did speak to Daryl Jackson, Casey Roddick, KJ, Kenton Kirkland, Boots, Lamont Green Jr., as well as Jaheim Bell. I don't know if you wanted to go in order from there. Daryl Jackson, large human being. Anything else that stood out to you when you spoke to him on Thursday?
No, big head, really big head. As he said himself, that was really funny. That was my favorite part of his interview, was when I think Ira asked him about, like, he played the edge some, and did he think he'd be a defensive end, or did he think he'd go inside? And he's like, well, I always had a big head, so I knew I would grow out of it and I'd be a defensive tackle. But yeah, man, when it comes to those five guys in particular, I wrote a column about it. I hope you guys read it. If not, go back and read it. But about Casey Roddick, and just, that when you're watching it, and you even said it afterwards, right? When I asked him what he wanted to do when he was done playing football, he is so I don't know, man, magnetic, intelligent, just the way he talked about the school, about the program, about himself, so mature that he seems like he's 44 years old. And I just, again, my column was basically about these are the kind of guys you bring in. This guy he sees the game differently. He sees the world differently. And I think that's, you know, number one, he's at Florida State because he's big and can play. Like I made the point in the column, if he was 5'11", 240, it wouldn't matter how good a kid he was. He wouldn't be here. Like, first and foremost, you got to be able to play. But just putting pieces like that around younger players and letting them see this kind of work ethic, leadership, just intelligence, everything that they get to see every day being by that just can do nothing but good for your program. That's how much he stood out to me in that, whatever it was, 12-minute interview. I'm like, I was blown away by the dude. I was like, man, I got to write a column about him. And so I did. And then the other kid that I thought was super impressive was Kirkland. Mm.
Shout
kid,
out Reigns. Yeah, man.
Man, he was leaders. Really, really, another really, look, man, another really intelligent kid. Now, my man, I love you, KJ. I know you run faster than the wind. Storm's going to have to bulk you up a little bit, big guy. He will. I mean, he's a young kid. He should still be in high school. But I'm really interested to see what he looks like at this time next year with a full year in a college weight room. Because, you know, he could run with anyone. but he's not ready to play college football yet, nor should he be at this age. But that was noticeable. Number one, again, intelligence. I'm always amazed by kids that age. Like Roddick, Roddick to a much lesser extent because he's been in college football for years at a big school. But Kirkland, like, to handle that moment, like, imagine when you were 18, Aslan, and you go into a room with a bunch of dudes that look like me asking you questions with a camera on you, with a backdrop behind you, standing behind like a presidential podium.
Bright lights on your face and everything.
It's crazy. Just the way all of them handled it, but Kirkland in particular, just because of his youth, his age, was really, really impressive. So all of those guys were impressive in their own way. Go read all the stories we wrote on them. They're all on War Chant. Ira wrote about Lamont Green Jr., that I think is on the site. Wrote it on Sunday. That's on the site right now when you're listening to this. So is my story on Taniah Latson, big dub for the Lady Noles. The FSU women, they got a big beat them by 40, I think, 36 points on Sunday. So I wrote a story on her, and there's a really, I think, well, you've all heard the interview, but if you didn't hear it last week, there's a really good YouTube video, too. She's a very, very, again, just, she should be on the football team. She'd fit right in with the football team with that culture, is intelligent as she is. But going back to the football players, like Lamont Green Jr. was really good too, because they all seemed self-aware.
Yeah,
like he talked about having to learn. KJ Kirkland talked about having to learn. Lamont Green Jr. was like, I just want to be a part. I don't really care how much I play. He's not really probably expecting to play. He just wants to learn from Jared Verse. Which, why wouldn't you? And Patrick Payton. I mean, those are good guys to try to emulate and learn from. And he said all the right things. And then Jaheim Bell, man, you talk about a guy with confidence. Buddy, it just seeps out of him. It exudes out of him. We knew he could play anyway. But just the way he talked, right? The way he talked, and not like in a completely braggadocious way, but just the way he talks about himself and the way he plays, it's like, yeah, you need some dudes like this too. Like dudes that think they're the best player on earth. And I think Jaheim Bell might think he's the best football player on earth. And that's always good to have in your locker room too.
Savor a shot of energy while nourishing your body with a compound of essential vitamins with Vitamin Energy. Small package, sizable punch, checking in at less than 2 ounces. Enjoy your Vitamin Energy as a shot or pour it into your water bottle and sip on it throughout the day. This vegan and kosher certified, gluten-free, non-GMO, zero sugar mix gives you the energy boost you crave without any of the crash. Offices in Florida, led by a slew of FSU grads, including a three-time All-ACC track standout. Vitamin Energy, hooking up our listeners here on Wake Up War Chant. Go to vitaminenergy.com, use the promo code WARCHANTBOGO. So WARCHANT, B-O-G-O. Buy one, get one. You know that, Corey. On your purchase, you'll receive any item of equal or lesser value for free on any purchase you make when you use the promo code WARCHANTBOGO. 9 different varieties, including formulas that will boost your immune system, your focus, even give you a pre-workout kick. You can try out their variety pack and see which shot suits you best. Give it a shot. Check out VitaminEnergy.com. Use the promo code WARCHANTBOGO. Corey, have you found a formula that you like yet? Have you done the pre-workout?
I have. I did the look, man. So here's the thing: we got all of them sent to us. I think, right? We got all 9.
Yeah.
But I don't want to do. I don't want to dabble like one at a time. I want to ride with one for like at least 4 or 5 days to see how it treats me. Sour apple. It's going to be hard for me to go away from it. Like I actually like. I like the taste of it. Number one, I drink it like a shot. But also, it really did. I used it before my workout on Friday, and then afterwards, I had to get on the road almost immediately and come up to Georgia. And I was fine. Usually after a workout, I'm dead. I don't like it. And then I had a 5-hour drive after that. But no, buddy, I was singing songs on the way up. I was calling ex-girlfriends. I had all the energy in the world. Sorry, Steph. She doesn't listen to this anymore. And that was a joke, by the way. But yeah, clearly, if I had called my ex-girlfriend, I wouldn't say it. Come on, gang. Give me a break. But no, I really liked I liked the sour apple. So I think I'm going to ride with that for another. That's the workout one. One of the workout ones.
Yeah, it is.
I'm going to ride with that one for another 3 or 4 days. And then I'll pivot to something else. But right now, it's almost like if it's not broke, don't fix it.
Attaboy. Check it out. Give it a shot, everybody. VitaminEnergy.com. Use the promo code WARCHANTBOGO.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, P people, influences, and experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
All right, Corey, we're going to have Michael Engson on here shortly to talk about recruiting, but kind of a little bit back to these young men that are being assembled by this staff. And this is an Aslan thing, obviously, because it's coming out of Aslan's mouth. But man, at what point does it become feasible or practical or something that you maybe have never had a doubt on it? So maybe this is me kind of talking in circles about it. But like when you bring in a guy like Dylan Gibbons, you're like, all right, man, I get it. High quality, moral fabric, yeah. Leader, helps maybe change some of the things that you want to do process-wise. Guys can follow him. But, man, how often will you be able to find a guy like that? And then not to say, like, you know, Casey Rock's the next Dylan Gibbons, but, man, Casey Rock just seems like a really stand-up dude, has his head on his shoulders the right way, is focused on the correct things. He talks about wanting to leave Florida State a better place than he found it. You know, these are the sort of things that you don't hear from a lot of, you know, 19, 20-year-old guys that are even coming through the transfer portal. Man, like, Mike Norvell legitimately has a profile. And to your point, maybe a guy like Jaheim Bell's maybe a little bit more braggadocious, so maybe you can play around with a little bit of the more, you know, alpha kind of mindset guys that might not want to have the whole holistic sort of student-athlete approach. But, man, there's a legitimate profile to who he's going after. We're seeing that now, and it's – I'm really curious. That's the only thing that kind of held me back. Like, can you be a good guy like Mike Norvell seemingly and bring all these seemingly good dudes in and win a bunch of football games? Feeling like maybe you actually can. And that feels revolutionary somewhat.
Yeah, and I think I made the point in the column too that, like, Norvell is attracted to those kind of players. Obviously, like, again, talent wins out. Talent is the most important. But if everything's equal, he's looking for a different kind of kid than one that's been a malcontent or has been run off somewhere. And I think, so he's attracted to a different kind of player, but I also think now, as we're 3 years into this, the Casey Roddicks of the world are attracted to Mike Norvell and his program, right? Mm. Like, they attract each other. So I do think this can continue. Like, there aren't that many of those guys out there. They're not a ton of Jermaine Johnsons, Dylan Gibbons, Devontae Love Taylors, Casey Roddicks, of the world out there, but he seems to find them, and they're attracted to him because, number one, when Casey Roddick comes in on a visit, and these linemen, look, man, he's seen it all. And these linemen, you know, a lot of these guys are older guys too, and he's talking to the Demetri Emanuels or the Dylan Gibbonses or the Jazzin Turnentines. Again, I would encourage everyone to read Ira's article on Turnentine too, because that was a really eye-opening one about what he had to say. When those guys are speaking up the culture, what does that say to a guy like Roddick? He loves that stuff. He's attracted to that more than, oh, yeah, they got my bench up by 45 pounds or whatever it might be. It's, man, yeah, no, these guys really do care for you, and all these players care about you. That's, man, to a guy like Casey Roddick, that's how you win a recruiting battle like that. I think that stuff does matter to a certain type of player, and right now that's the certain type of player that Mike Norvell's getting and has been great at getting. So, yeah, man, Johnny Wilson's a good guy. Well, go down the line. I mean, most of all these transfers that they brought in, almost all of them to a man, have been great fits. And they've been indoctrinated into the culture, but in reality, haven't they kind of created the culture?
Yeah.
Like, you talk about what Norvell's done the last 3 years, it's been the transfers. And I count Jordan Travis as that, and Fabian Lovett as that. They're the guys that Greedy Vance, just go, the whole team, really. They've really let this culture blossom. The way the transfers come into this program, I think, really does say a lot about what this culture is. And, yeah, man, I could not have been more impressed with Roddick. Man, I hope you can play, Casey. I know you can. You played at Colorado. You started a bunch of games. Man, I hope he's good because I think you said it right. He's like, to me, he feels like another Dylan Gibbons. Just a really solid, good dude at a position that needs a lot of solid, good dudes. Wants to be a teacher, wants to help lead the younger guys.
Yeah, it's one thing to assemble these guys. You know, it's like, I just want to get a bunch of good dudes that can play football, but they're also good dudes. But I feel like there has to be a certain mix so that when they all do get here, they do kind of create the locker room that you have envisioned. Because, yeah, man, Mike Norvell can have this idea and be like, all right, I think this guy can maybe do it. But, man, you still have to get 85 guys all bought in, and you're not always going to get that, but enough of them to create something tangible and long lasting. Yeah. And it kind of goes back to why I feel this season, you know, no need to fear it, everybody.
But they're also, they're not, I don't know, man, they're not soft. Like that's right. Nobody would look at Jared Verse and call him soft or Fabian Lovett soft. I mean, come on, man. And that's what I think. Yes, Casey Roddick is a really good guy. I mean, I think he should run for senator one day or governor or you know, whatever, man. He could be an astronaut. He could do anything he wants in life. And those are always great to have in your program just to emulate, to see what a good teammate looks like, to see what a guy that, like I said, a true hard worker. But also the Jared Verses and the Jaheim Bells that believe they're the best players on earth, those are really nice to have too. Yeah, those are really good players to have. And I don't want you to think that you're just looking for a bunch of nice guys. No. You need some, they all need to play. And you also need some dudes with some edge to them. You can't, I think most of those guys do have an edge. You need some Jamie Robinsons out there. And I don't know if it's a South Carolina thing, but Jaheim Bell kind of reminded me the way he just spoke.
Well, they're Georgia boys. They went to South Carolina, but they're Georgia
boys.
Take credit for it.
Oh, that's right. Stand up, Georgia. Yeah. Stand up, 404-678. Let's go down the line. But, I think that 706, you're in there. I didn't forget you. 229, stand up. But I think that he reminded me of Jamie Robinson just from listening to him talk. Like a complete self-belief. I'm better than you. I know I'm really good. And you need that too. And Jaheim Bell, Lord knows there's enough tight ends on this roster. Jaheim Bell will be a great person for some of these guys to emulate. And obviously Jared Verse is too. Jared Verse is he's a one of a kind, man. They don't make a lot like him. But maybe Jaheim Bell is the offensive version of him. Comes in talking smack right away to the defense, not making any friends on defense, which Jared Verse, I promise you, did not make any friends on offense when he got here. Now, they were pretty happy with him once they saw him and play in a game, but Jaheim Bell could be that guy in reverse. Like, there might be some defensive dudes that are tired of him talking all the time. And I don't even know if he would talk. I'm saying that not having watched him practice once. Just listening, watching that confidence, man, that air of confidence. I love that. I love dudes that believe in themselves. And you know who has it now? Is your quarterback. That guy straight up, and with good reason, believes in himself too. There's a lot of self-belief on this team, Aslan, to go along with the good guys that should all run for senator one day.
Yeah. We're starting to see some of these videos trickle out too from tour of duty, so we're going to probably be able to actually see these guys in action not too long from now.
Till you guys see our tour of duty video. You're going to love it.
Hasn't happened yet. We'll see if we can get it done. Michael Langston, Talking Recruiting, coming up right after this. As advertised, everybody, we got Michael Langston, recruiting analyst for WarChant.com, the ultimate seminal sports source. Michael, thanks for being here, man. Let's kind of get to it. I know you've had a really long, busy weekend. Work with me here, Michael. Pretend that everybody was kind of like me, was really busy this weekend, maybe wasn't able to be around the computer and check out all the hard work you did on the premium recruiting board. Let's kind of go through some of the bigger things. I guess probably with the headline be Cam Davis being on campus, that elite running back out of Southwest Georgia.
I think there'll be other headlines, but Cam's one of them. Cam, anytime he's on campus is a big deal. And, you know, top 100 back. Obviously, a lot of people wanting him, but just having him where he got a chance to visit the baseball facility, hook up with Link Jared over there, kind of talk with him because he's also a baseball player. And so I think it's just big anytime you have him there because he can recruit other players. I think certainly that was a headline. The two surprise visitors was also a big headline with four-star tight end Landon Thomas being there, and then also defensive tackle Omar White, who's originally from Lee County, transferred over to Valdosta. He was also there. So I think those two are probably, I guess for me, the headline. But Anytime you have commits there, Luke Kromahoke was there, Cam Davis was there, Camden Fryer was there, all guys that have been very solid in their FSU commits, and it still feels very strongly they are. But certainly you can start off there with those guys.
All right, let's kick it around then. Luke and Caden and Camden being on campus, how big of a sort of, statement was that from them in terms of their serious interest in Florida State and their commitment to the program?
I think it's a big deal because those are some of your main points into the class, especially Luke and Cam. They've been, two of the guys that have recruited really hard. CJ Hurd was also there. Don't want to leave him out. He's recruiting extremely hard for FSU. But to have all these guys like Camden Fryer, Cam Davis, and Luke Kromahoke and Hurd it's just massive when you're talking about so many guys. I mean, it was over 55 prospects that were there. So it's a little bigger than the previous Junior Day weekend. And to have them around other uncommitted guys, that's a big deal to sell your product because these guys can tell you, hey, why FSU is going where they're going, why they committed. And I think it was a big deal having those guys at some point, not all the time around the prospects, but just some where they could recruit other guys.
What's up with all these tight ends now, man? We're like tight end you, Michael. I mean, Landon Thompson showing up, Kylan Fox showing up. What's it mean for that position and what this program and this staff's been able to put together, I guess?
Yeah, I think it's a big deal, having Landon there. He was originally – they had everything planned for Landon. It was supposed to end at like 3 o'clock, and he didn't leave till – I didn't leave Moore Athletic Center until probably around 6:30. He just kept staying around. They just – he didn't want to leave. That's the word I got from FSU Intel. So that's a good thing. Committed to Georgia, but like I said, he was previously committed to FSU, but that was back when things were very shaky, didn't know what they were going to do on the field. Then you start seeing the product, last year on the field. And I think that's what's rekindled, a lot of stuff going on with Landon because he liked FSU growing up. Now they're looking like a great product. You're seeing these tight end transfers wanting to come in. There's something attractive about FSU. And just the way they get their playmakers the ball, like Johnny Wilson, Michael Pittman, even Trey Benson, and all these guys, I think that's really attractive to a lot of these tight ends where they feel like they could do those same things that Johnny Wilson does. So I think there's a rekindle of excitement as far as what playmakers can do in this offense at the tight end position. I think the Jaheim Bell thing really cranked things up because everyone's seen Jaheim play. I think a lot of these high school kids know who he is, and I think seeing him in this says to them, like, hey, you know what? He's a top tight end. I need to really seriously consider FSU. And so I think Landon being on campus is a significant development for FSU.
Landon Thomas, 6'4", 238 tight end out of Colquitt County, Moultrie, Georgia. Consensus 4-star, 2024. All these guys we're talking about, folks, these are all juniors, so they'll be part of the next cycle. What about Kylan Fox, man? Going back to Grayson, one of the big powerhouses in Georgia. That's a crazy thing for him to end up popping up on campus on a Sunday, no?
Yeah, I mean that was the last guy we did a feature on. Features on the front page for people who haven't seen. Kylan's actually, I learned some stuff. People always think I know everything that's going on. Sometimes there's new stuff that I pick up. Kylan's actually from Valdosta, so he has a really tight relationship with Jaheim Bell. He talked about that a little bit in our story that's on the front page. And certainly FSU's been really attractive to him. And it goes back to what I was talking about just with the offense. I think he sees kind of where they're going with this offense and the tight ends. And tight ends are a big part of it. If you do Norvell's history, he really utilizes the tight ends in just about every place he's been. So I think now it's kind of being real now that you can see it when you got guys like Jaheim Bell coming in that, hey, they're going to really exploit that tight end position. And I think FSU is definitely really high on the list for Kylan, and certainly he really praised FSU a lot. But what I didn't know is his relationship that he's a Valdosta kid where he's been there. He just transferred over, I think, last year to Grayson. So he's definitely a Valdosta kid, and he's definitely one that they certainly have ties to, and they're certainly utilizing that in this recruitment.
All right, let's stay in Valdosta then, Michael. Omar White showing up, defensive lineman, 6'2", 305, committed to Colorado. Texas A&M's one of the teams in the mix, possibly South Carolina, Clemson. These are all the teams on the RPM, the recruiting prediction machine over on On3. Man, this guy's he's a specimen, man. That's how did this come about happening?
He's a bad mofo, guys. Originally from Lee County, so he played with Quayshon Sapp and those guys that me and Aslan went to see when we went over to Lee County. He was over there and then transferred over to Valdosta. Quayshon Sapp was hosting him on Saturday. So I think a lot of that's just the ties to FSU. Really likes Odell. I think he's going to go through the visit process again. I've talked to some people that were close to Omar, both at Lee County and even people around Valdosta, that they're skeptical that actually he follows through and signs with Colorado, because that's a long ways away. And you know, Omar's a guy that's big on, you know, family and seeing his family, seeing him play. So, you know, a lot of people are skeptical that they think he's still going to end up sometime in the South. But another guy that's been really enamored by Yodo Hagans, and development is a big deal to Omar through the whole process. So I think that was one of the main reasons he wanted to be there. He wanted to show love to Odell. He wanted to kind of see FSU again, because he also notices you know, what the program's doing and what they're doing on the defensive line. Omar mentioned that several times earlier this year when I went to see him play. He mentioned, like, hey, I really like what they're doing in that defensive trenches in front, and I've really taken notice of it. So I think FSU is still going to be a cornerstone in this recruitment. I think they're heavily involved, and they're certainly going to be a major factor throughout the year. I think this one has a long ways to go still with Omar White, despite that commitment to Dion.
Can you reflect real quick, Michael, just a year ago, junior days at this point? I mean, were they having junior days at this point in the calendar? The amount of talent that was on campus this past weekend versus a year ago?
I think they maybe had one, but nothing to this level where you're having three straight weekends, and we're not talking about just your average Joe prospects. I mean, these are top-tier guys. You know, Omar White, Jason Zandamella, from a four-star offensive lineman from Clearwater, Landon Thomas, who's committed to Georgia, Justice Terry, who is the number 38 prospect in the whole entire country for the 2025 class, top 100 defensive end Dylan Stevens. So this, like, the talent level is much, much higher than what we saw with the junior. Last year we saw maybe, you know, one or two, you know, four stars sprinkled in there, and then, you know, a lot of some three stars that they wanted to take a look at that were young that maybe they go after. This year they're getting the big dogs in there. I mean, they're getting them early, not just this weekend, but last weekend. People that can, you know, follow all our recruiting wraps and stuff, you see a lot of the top prospects that they had on campus, and it's extremely impressive. I mean, it's definitely, you can definitely feel the recruiting buzz from this season and what FSU's doing on the field. That's really translating to a lot of these kids and these top recruits wanting to see it. And I think it's going to continue next weekend with their final junior day. You know, I think you're going to see a lot of big names on there, a lot of top prospects, and I think the product is finally starting to catch up with those relationships that I talked about that they're so good at. But it's really, there's no question that prospects are taking notice of the product.
All right. Well, Patrick Surtain will be hopefully here on campus soon. That's probably going to also pay dividends on the recruiting trail. A lot of the names that Michael just mentioned, you might want some more information on. Well, he's got full wrap-ups pretty much of all these guys. Tidbits, yep. Nuggets. It's all over on the premium recruiting board, warchant.com. Subscribe, sign up for it. Hit the thumbs up, too, to show Michael some love. Michael, thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Anytime, man.
Just about made it, everybody. It's championship week in the NFL. Win over at mybookie.ag, or just, you know, have a little bit more fun with the game. We all want to win, but, you know, sometimes you can have some entertainment value to all this. MyBookie.ag, with their instant deposit cash bonus, offering you the best way to get your money in and money out. It's simple. Use the promo code WARCHANT on your deposit. Once you make your first bet that equals your deposit amount, get your winnings out and enjoy it. It's simple. That's how it works over at MyBookie.ag. NFC Championship game, Corey, in Philly. Niners at Eagles. Eagles giving out 2.5. Rooting for the Niners hard. Can't imagine Brock Purdy on the road is going to be able to put together, I don't know, enough points to beat the Eagles. And it hurts me to say that, but that's where I'm at right now.
Especially because Josh Sweat and the boys get after the quarterback. I mean, good grief. They get 4 or 5 sacks every game. Yeah, I think I'm with you. I think that this feels like an Eagles win. I think the storybook for Purdy ends here. And I just want to say, because we haven't talked about it, the last play of the Cowboys 49ers game is easily my favorite NFL play of the year. Maybe the decade. Just unbelievable. But I still think I like, as wonderful as that was to watch the 49ers do what they did on that last play, I still like the Eagles to probably win by more than 2.5, I should say. But again, use this at your own peril, folks. Use any of my advice at your own peril.
We're going to talk about that more, but let's get through the read. On the AFC side, Joe Burrow taking on Patrick Mahomes. I was at the wedding. Apparently, Mahomes got hurt. Yes. Chiefs only giving out 1.5 against the Bengals. What do we think, Corey?
The Bengals. If Pat Mahomes can't move real well, which he clearly couldn't at the end of that game, looked like he broke his leg. I guess it's a high ankle sprain, but he was really struggling. And Burrow and the Bengals looked awesome against a really good team. They already beat that team last year. I like Burrow. I like Burrow in the gang. So give me the Bengals.
MyBookie.ag. Again, use that promo code WARCHANT for an instant cash deposit bonus to help your betting even better on championship weekend. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. All right, on the way out, Corey, we talked a little bit about baseball with Michael Langston. Shout out Cam Davis. He looked real sharp in the baseball unis, man.
Huge. How far can that kid hit a ball? Holy moly.
I wonder how far he can throw the ball, too. I feel like he'd probably go warning track to a home plate. But how about hoops? Let's get some hoops involved here in the mix here, Corey. What's on your mind?
Well, that was a nice win. It's a 2-game winning streak on the road. And I liked – look, man, Darren Green – He's not great at a lot of things. He is exceptional at one thing.
Sharp shooter.
He's one of the best shooters in Florida State history. That guy is just a knockdown, dead eye shooter. And he had 24, he had 16 in the second half. And it's good to see this team with a little fight. Baba Miller, again, he played, I don't know, 15 minutes or so. You start when I was texting Ira, like Baba Miller, to me, he's faster and quicker than Jalen Worley. And he's 6'11". So you start thinking about, man, get him for one more year. Hopefully have him for a full year. And then maybe, you know, the whole starting lineup is underclassmen, technically. They could all come back. You could use the last half of this season to try to build something. You still got some holes, clearly. But you could maybe try to build something this last half of the season. I would incorporate Baba Miller a little more. But when they had him on the court, and Dante Green, shout out to Dante Green, the other Green on the court, they actually could guard and guard really well. Corin did not have a good game, and he was kind of exposed on defense. And McLeod, you really can't play him against teams that are going to pick and roll and get him in really tough matchups. But the way they guarded for a good portion of that game, and then Baba Miller he made a couple of plays. There are a couple flash plays, not much. He had 5 points, like 5 points and 4 rebounds. But, man, he is so quick and athletic. It's freaky what he could be. And then Matthew Cleveland didn't get his double-double. But that guy, again, just plays so hard all the time. It's really fun to watch him play. And nice week. Nice week for them. Go on the road, win 2 ACC games. They're 5-4 in the ACC, which is crazy. And then they got Miami on Tuesday. Big game. I think that they've beaten Miami 9 in a row. So if they can pull it off on Tuesday night at home, be out there, gang, that would be 10 wins in a row for the over Miami, which would be an incredible – I mean, that doesn't happen in the ACC. So, good to see them play with a little life and a little toughness. And when they get maybe the slow-footed centers off the court, they play really well on defense too. So it was good to see. And, again, shout-out to the Lady Knowles for Tanai Latson at 19 – but they dominated Pitt, played really well defensively, and should be ranked this week, Aslan, I think. I'm going to go ahead and guess that they're actually going to finally be ranked. So good for them. Good for Brooke.
Yeah, watch out. The Noles are only one game back from third place on the men's side of the ledger.
How about that? What if they win the ACC? They just win the ACC and have a barely .500 record.
All right, that's a wrap for Corey and I. We'll be back with another show midweek. We'll drop a Renegade Express thread over on the Tribal Council, and then we'll do what we did last week. We'll probably moving forward here during the offseason, we'll do like a Tuesday or Wednesday. We'll post the thread, probably Tuesday. And then we'll do 2 shows for you folks for Thursday and Friday as well. So you'll actually be getting like 4 shows a week. Who loves you, everybody? We'll have plenty of content going up over on warchant.com as well throughout the week, and then we'll get some more newcomer interviews as well. Check out the Jeff Cameron Show, 1 to 3 o'clock as well. For Corey, I'm Aslan. Thank you for listening to Wake Up, War Chant, presented by the Corner Pocket Bar and Grill.